Welcome to the first podcast from Last Minute Productions entitled One Big Boat. We're all in this together. Each episode will feature a nonprofit whose work is making a true difference in people's lives. Today, we're speaking with Erica Young, the executive director of the Waltham Boys and Girls Club.
Welcome to another episode of One Big Boat. Today, we're at Waltham Boys and Girls Club with one of my favorite people, Erica Young, the executive director. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So if somebody came up to you and said, hey, Erica, what do you do?
I'm a executive director of the Waltham Boys and Girls Club. As a career, I would say I'm in youth development. I've always been dedicated to inspiring young people and helping them reach their full potential. My first job was a camp counselor. I'm not going to say how old I am now, but I'm still involved in running summer camps. And it's kind of the running joke in my family that I've made a career out of after-school programming and in summer camps, and I love it, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
How has it changed?
Oh, changed since when? I mean, it's changed, constantly changing. The needs of young people continues to change, and the needs of families, our society changes. And COVID changed the way that we did things and the way that we will probably always do things.
I like to talk about the tip of the iceberg, is that people see this place and they think basketball, homework, oh, look at the arts and stuff, and there's some other stuff to time to do homework and other things. But it's way more than that. The fact that you guys help out feeding families, did you ever think you were going to be doing that when you got into this business?
Probably not. Typically, Boys and Girls Clubs were known as Gym and Swim. It's where, well, before the girls were allowed, it's where boys came after school to play sports and to stay out of trouble. And some things are the same, like caring adults in a safe place and a supportive environment. Those things haven't changed. How we support kids has changed, probably. But what we do to support them has changed drastically. It now is education, at so many different levels, so academics, but also social and emotional learning and understanding about different social studies and about, you know, our world and how they relate to the world and their own identity are so important for young people to think about right now. Social media, they're learning about how to navigate social media and how that impacts their lives. That was not anything that we had to deal with or had to think about, you know, years ago. So those things are much different. And then basic needs. You know, what we were finding is that we're expecting kids to learn and grow and be the best versions of themselves. But some of our young people weren't eating 3 meals a day and not having snacks. Studies show that kids need to eat about every five hours in order to be able to sustain and have the energy. And if kids are going, you know, 10 hours and not knowing where the next meal is coming from, how can we expect them to be the best versions of themselves? So we started serving meals and after school and then into the summertime.
How much you deal with the kids?
Not as much as I wish. Not as much as I used to. I do try as much as possible. I coach the floor hockey team, our travel floor hockey team. So we played. I had a team full of middle school students who had never played field hockey or floor hockey before. I was a field hockey player. And we had a blast, and we traveled to different Boys and Girls Clubs, and it was so wonderful. Spending time with the young people is, we learned so much from them, just as much as we were able to teach them.
Did you guys lead the league in penalties?
We did not lead the league in penalties. We did make it to the semifinals, and then lost pretty badly in our last game, but it was all learning opportunities.
I did a video for a place called Root, which is on the North Shore of Massachusetts. And they applied a year ago and got a pretty sizable grant from the state for basically food inequity. And I was looking on who else got this grant. And you guys showed up.
Yes.
How much time do you spend writing grants? How much time?
Spend a lot of time fundraising. I spent a lot of time. We have a grant manager who's amazing. Working with him, we have a small development team, development director. She's amazing, and our whole team is amazing. But you know, it's individuals, people who care about our mission and want to join us in this work, who give their money, working with corporate partners, government entities that support this work, and foundations and grants. So I would say that's the majority of my time now.
Your staff. A lot of people would think it's kids show up, older kids who have aged out. Okay, they're going to come back. But that's really not the case, is it?
I mean, I have a master's degree and I'm still here. our staff, they are, they're college students, they're college graduates, they're people who are, this is their career, is to develop our future leaders. And it's really important work. And people who do this work are special and are passionate, and we need them.
What's a really good day for you?
A really good day is everyone shows up on time to work. Everyone's here. We get a grant notification that we just were awarded a big grant in the, you know, six figures. And I have all my to-dos done, and I get to go play a game of ping pong in the room with kids. That's a perfect day for me.
I would go pool, but I do like that. So what programs do people probably not, you know, we just talked about what gym and swim, but what other programs do you have? Like, I'm thinking Torch Club and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our leadership development is a very big program. We're trying to develop civically engaged adults, young people who know about how the government works, know how the school systems work, and can be advocates of change. So we have two leadership clubs, a middle school and a high school group, and they do community service, they research projects, they get to understand what, you know, how our community runs and operates, and take on projects that are important to them.
And do they get a college grant? Isn't there a program where they could get money for college?
We have several programs like that. So we do provide some grant money for our Youth of the Year. So when every month we acknowledge and recognize our young people who have really stood out and made impact on the club and the greater community. And then at the end of the year, they will go through a process, and one Youth of the Year is selected, and that young person does get a scholarship. But we also support them in other outside scholarship programs as well.
And how do you come up with programs? Like, I know you have a makeup club or a makeup program.
Cosmetology.
Yeah. How do you do that?
It's our staff. I mean, our staff are so creative, and we allow them to bring their passions into this work, too. So the cosmetology program was part of our arts program, and one of our staff was really into makeup art and saw it as a potential career for our young people, and not just as I have fun, I like to put on makeup, but she brought in other experts and people in the industry to come in and show them how to do costume art and makeup art and how to make someone look like a werewolf and that kind of stuff. So trying to introduce unique things that kids could get excited about, but could also be spark an interest that could turn into a career.
Coming up.
It's a lofty goal with a big price tag, but that's something that I'm determined to do.
What goal is Waltham Boys and Girls Club looking to pursue?
Here's what clients are saying about working with Last Minute Productions.
Last Minute Productions did an absolutely incredible job creating our video, and we could not be more thrilled with the end product.
LMP continues to find creative ways to help us share our message so more people will understand our mission and movement.
I have had the pleasure of working with them at two different organizations. Last Minute Productions is the ultimate partner. They go above and beyond.
Video production, live streaming, and of course, podcasting. Your message to your target audience delivered in the most impactful way. Go to lastminuteproductions.com and see why we say, trust the brand that trusted brands trust.
The younger one's harder or the high school one's harder?
Every age group has unique challenges. The younger they're really excited about learning, right? So they get excited about a lot of things. They're easier in some aspect in terms of programming because you can read them a book and it's about the relationships with them. And as they get a little older, they you know, they challenge the world as they should, and that's how they learn, is you know, pushing to see how far they can push. And our job is to make sure they don't go off the edge. And so they're going to push and push until they know that, because they know that we're here to catch them. And that's where those relationships are more important than ever. So as they get older, yes, the program is important and what we give them, but it's the relationships for them to trust us, to know that we're providing programs that are important and that will benefit them. Because otherwise they're going to say, I don't want to be here. I don't need to be here. I can go hang out in the McDonald's parking lot if I want to. But they choose to come here and they choose to be part of financial literacy programming because they trust and they love our staff.
Now, we've done work with you guys, and I've noticed that when we've done some interviews with some of the older members, they will individually call out staff members. Mm-hmm. That's how important those staff members are, mm-hmm, as peer leader, as leaders.
Yeah, and you ask some of the adults, our alumni, about their experience at the club, and they'll recall staff members that may still be here or here, or that were here, that influenced their entire lives.
If somebody went to a Boys and Girls Club in a different part of the world, different part of the country, it would be different. Like, you really have to structure this around Waltham, around your population.
Yeah, I was actually in a CEO call, so all executive directors from Boys and Girls Clubs from across the state. We meet once a month and just, you know, share best practices and, you know, learn about opportunities that are out there. And that was one of the things that was talked about, is there's a kind of set of money that they were encouraging us to apply for and to talk about what makes us unique. Yes, we're part of Boys and Girls Club of America. You know, there's some things that are standard and the same, but we're each so unique because we target our community, and because we know our community so well. We partner with the schools and other local organizations, and I would say Waltham is very unique. I've worked in other communities earlier in my career, and nowhere else was as collaborative as Waltham is. And that really impacts what we're able to do. And what we're able to have is wraparound services for our young people. Because when kids know that we're talking to their parents and we're talking to their teachers and we may be talking to their, you know, to their therapists and social workers and everybody else in their lives, that makes a big impact.
Waltham is a blue-collar town where you might have some townies, people who've been here all their lives. And then it's actually a really great town to move into if you're a young couple and maybe you're into an affluent, you can move to an affluent area. But it's really a melting pot here.
It's definitely one of the most diverse communities, I'd say, in the country. The levels of economics varies very drastically. Cultures are very, very diverse. Languages, there's 60 languages spoken throughout the public school systems. We get immigrant families from all over the world. And I think that's what makes Waltham so special. And it's amazing what we can all learn from each other in that environment.
At this moment, what is the yearly fee for a kid?
It's on paper for younger kids. It's $20 for a year. Teens, it's $5 a year. We regularly waive our fees.
So you could get an influx of people, kids. I mean, is there a number you can cap that off at?
We do. For our elementary school, we are a licensed program, and our ratios evolve, so we can only have as many kids as we have staff. If we add more staff, then that fluctuates. We can bring in more kids. We also took on the transportation challenge in our community. So we are paying for chartered buses and vans. Some of our staff are picking up kids in our licensed vans. And so we only have so many seats in those as well. So we are limited in our capacity for what we're able to do. But, you know, if we had more resources, we could do more.
What's your wish list? What's the top three things right now?
I mean, I say one, money. Because if we had money, we could do so many things with those. And we could have more staff. We could improve our aging building. It's the people and people in the place, really, that makes this place special.
Do you go back and forth between the pride of what you're doing with an aging building and not as much funds as you want to being frustrated?
Definitely. When I give tours and people come in for the first time, and they, especially when there's kids here or the staff here, and they see what we're doing, they're very impressed, and I'm very proud of that. And then it's, you know, trying to share what our needs are, and you know, hearing somebody say, "Oh, well, the building's not so bad. The building looks beautiful. You've done such, you know, you've kept it up so well." Well, thank you for that. But it's also, you know, a 70-year-old building with that had a lot of deferred maintenance, and we're sometimes I'm up in the ceiling with our maintenance guy, you know, with trying to catch a leak. And that takes away from all the work that we're doing, what's important. And we kids have to walk around buckets because of a leak. That's not a great environment.
You've been here 10 years now?
It'll actually be 12 this summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's executive director is for 10, right?
For 10, yeah.
So 10 years from now, what do you want to see? When we're celebrating your 20th.
And you're, I might still be here.
And you're, yeah, and you're 34.
My goal is to get a new building, a building that our kids and our community deserve. That's it's a lofty goal with a big price tag, but that's something that I'm determined to do.
How's the Waltham business community to you?
Local business is wonderful. It's, you know, businesses who have or are led by people who are from this community and care about this community, care about us. The corporate community, those who we get in to hear about us, they are typically really, really good as well, but they have so many priorities, and some of them, you know, are very big and national or international companies that even though they might be located in Waltham, and people say, well, you have all these big companies in Waltham, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to support, you know, a local organization like ourselves.
Yeah. I always think that even though it's charity, it's philanthropy, it's still for an investor, for a donor, it's ROI. Right?
Yeah, and there's been research done on the work that we do, and you know, for every $1 that someone invests in this organization, it's $10 back because of what we're doing to the economy by developing the young people here.
And that number doesn't even take in, like, maybe how you've changed a child's life for the better.
Well, the hope is that we've changed that individual's life, but that individual's going to go on to change other people's lives and be a really positive contributor to our society.
Anything I missed?
I don't know, Jay. It's your show.
What else? Anything you want to leave with?
You know, this is really important work. I know how hard and how many hours and the sacrifices that we all make to be in this work. And I know that there are so many other people in this boat with us and in other organizations that are doing this work. And it's a privilege to work alongside them.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you do.
Thanks for having me.
One Big Boat is a production of Last Minute Productions Incorporated. This episode was produced by Jay Dobeck. Scott Wyman was the sound engineer. Ethan Gallo provided production support and editing. And Joanne Pallotta was the production coordinator.